you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, July 27th, 2021. Hello, Tim.
Hey, you're in Springfield again.
Springfield again. Love it here. Love what God's doing in this community.
Yes.
And love Tuesdays because it generally means it's going to be Testimony Tuesday. And I'm making friends with a pastor here. He serves at the Mount Zion Apostolic Church here in Springfield. He's known as Pastor Franklin, Bishop Franklin. He's involved in the Pentecostal churches of the apostolic faith. He serves as a pastor. He's married to the beloved First Lady Terry, which I hope you'll bring her next time you're visiting with us, Pastor Franklin. But we've asked him beforehand to share a little of some of his faith journey, so he's ready to share some of that testimony. But I asked him, share one of your favorite verses or maybe a verse that the Lord's had on your heart recently. And he said, oh, Mark, I'm thinking of Proverbs 4:18, and that's what I began with. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. So, Pastor Franklin, how about we begin with that verse? Why does that resonate in your heart, or why has God stirred you to really identify with this verse?
Well, we serve a God in motion. And for me, that verse talks about the growth, the advancement, the progress that the Christian life should always demonstrate. We should never be the same place today that we were 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you have to excuse me. I am stuck on King James language. The path of the just or the righteous is as the shining light that shines more and more. And that light being knowledge and understanding of God's word, we should increase in that as we continue to walk with him. We should grow in our knowledge of him. And of course, the Bible tells us that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that talks about the growth.
Yeah, I think of that word sanctification. Oftentimes people, maybe somebody unfamiliar with the Christian walk or somebody's tuning in today, maybe for the first time and has never heard Christian radio, but that term sanctification, it's a process. Mm-hmm. Like when we accept Jesus into our heart and recognize him as Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean that we never sin again or fall short or have times where maybe we backslide, but our trajectory, our desire is always to be growing, to be refined, to be representing him, to be that shining light, to exhibit that fragrance of Christ with those around us.
Right. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. And so that light should shine brighter and brighter as we live as examples before our society that Jesus is real and he's worth serving.
Pastor Franklin, you talked about those modeling Christ around you or having an influence in your life before we began this program, and you said your grandfather, he was a preacher, and I think your dad was a pastor. So you have some legacy being modeled for you right in your own family. Is that what stirred you to ask Christ into your heart at a younger age?
Yeah, having been brought up in the church, pew baby, we always called it. So whenever the word of God is implanted in your heart, there just comes a point where you have to make a decision for Christ. And though I ran from making that decision for a lot of years and, you know, suffered the consequences of that procrastination, but it was put in me so deeply that there was no way I could escape surrendering at some point in my life to Christ.
What was that point where you recognized you needed Jesus and it wasn't about just knowing about him, it was him becoming your personal Lord and Savior?
You always know. In my growing up, I always knew that I would pastor one day from a very young age. I was having fun. I was enjoying sin. So you just put off what you know you've got to do. And I think I would say, God, you know, you knew from having been taught it But I think God made himself real to me about 1 o'clock one morning. And I overheard a conversation with my parents, my brother who was in college in Terre Haute. He had given his life to the Lord. Well, when I heard that, I got convicted. God, you know, dealt with me in the way that he did. And from that point on, I could never again deny the reality of God. I knew it as a matter of spirit. I just knew it within. I ran from it for the next 12 years. Finally, when it came time for me to give my life to the Lord, and it's kind of difficult to talk about, but I found myself in a dark alley looking down the barrel of five 357 Magnums. I was now in trouble with the law, which led to a prison sentence, and it was while serving time in prison that I surrendered. I tell people that was the best thing ever happened to me, but don't try this at home, boys and girls.
Sure.
But there, God, I was born again in the prison. That was 40 years ago.
Wow. This is time, Tim, where we say, praise the Lord, you know, how God works through all mysterious circumstances. For some, it's an easy surrender early on, but for others, it's that trials and circumstances, and like I say, people just aren't ready to bow or surrender or submit, and they might be having too much fun, you know, experiencing the world, not recognizing that there's an eternity ahead of them.
My mother always told me, don't make God knock you down to get your attention. But that's exactly what I did. And it was like Paul being knocked off his horse on the Damascus Road. When God gets ready to get your attention, he knows how to get it. But like I said, I thank God for it. Every day.
Now, when did First Lady, when did Terry enter into your life? And was she a born-again follower of Jesus at the time?
No. We went to school together. We attended the historic Crispus Attucks High School in Indianapolis, Indiana. I chased her through the halls, and she ran from me. And I served in the U.S. Navy. When I was discharged from there, I decided I would pay her a visit. At that point, she was more receptive to my advances. So we've been married now. It'll be 46 years in September.
Okay, congratulations. And in case you're just tuning in, we have Pastor Franklin, who serves as the senior pastor at the Mount Zion Apostolic Church here in Springfield. And recently, Tim, you had him in the studio and you were getting different audio clips, because that was the catalyst of, we got to get him back in to share some of his testimony. And he has a real heart for unifying churches, and he's putting together a little booklet so we can be effective in uniting to serve our one Lord, but through different church means.
Yeah, Pastor Franklin shared some of his vision, what God has impressed on him. We've got more in common. We need to realize that and come together.
Pastor Franklin, before our program, you were talking about holiness and us as followers of Jesus serving the Lord and serving the community at large and finding our true freedom in the Lord Jesus and not in all these other mechanisms or means or activities. And you were working on this project where, take us through, what do you call that the city has, these different districts?
The State Journal Register published quite a few years ago the beat map. The police department has the city carved up into eight territories, that, and they patrol the city through that. I looked at that and I said, this makes a great evangelism tool. From there, our church actually sent teams into each one of those beat areas, they're called. We identified all of the churches in that beat. We identified the schools, and we visited the schools and prayed over the schools. We looked at the various entities that competed against the church for the souls of men, liquor stores, psychic entities like that, that were instrumental in keeping people, as we would say, in spiritual warfare, bound. Later, it became an idea for a book that I'm working on now that I'm calling The Footprint of Christ, The Christian Profile of Springfield, Illinois. There's a statement in, I believe it's Isaiah, where God says to him, show the house to the house. Show the church to the church. And I think one of the problems that the church has had down through the centuries of its existence is we've viewed, if you didn't dot your I's and cross your T's, mm-hmm. just like we do theologically, you were the enemy. And as a result, we have failed to gain the ground that God intended us to gain. He said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one to another." So my goal is to show the church to the church, to show the Christian profile of this city so that we can gauge the strength of what the church could do if we work together in a stronger way. I am the president of the Springfield Ministerial Alliance currently, and that is a gathering of pastors and ministers that meets once a month, and we search for ways to work together. Though we come from different denominations right. and different theological backgrounds, we find ways to work together to be a light to the city as a whole. Mm-hmm. Based on Jesus' words, the more the church can do to come together and show the greater society that we're on one accord, we're moving in the same direction, I think that will encourage people to say, maybe I need to be a part of that.
Yeah, I shared beforehand about our ministry leaders network in the mm-hmm. greater Champaign-Urbana area and how we've been meeting for 4 months and how we're doing those similar kind of things as bringing pastors together so they're forging a network, if you will, but our primary purpose is to encourage them, to equip them, and then empower them to do the work of the church in the community and work together. And we've had a prayer gathering that brought a lot of different people together that was held last year at Lincoln Square. And so we hope to do more things like that in the future. But I love your idea because there might be somebody in Macomb or Lincoln or Decatur or Bloomington thinking, I never thought about working with the police department to see what the beats are mm-hmm. and then mobilize different churches. Now, I think that is happening in Champaign-Urbana a bit because some of the pastors are coming together to pray over certain blocks where there may be heightened crime or
right.
situations were going on, maybe gang violence or whatever, where they're starting to do that. But I'm thinking various communities should be thinking about that or working with the police department. You know, going to the police chief and say, hey, where is there rampant crime or where's a high crime probability? And we're going to get a cluster of people to pray in that area or to, you know, somehow be mobilized in a safe way, you know, during maybe daylight hours or however it works. Maybe it's working with some youth or some organizations into the evening to witness to these people or the individuals. So I just love that idea. So our listeners will want to be praying up as you serve as the president. And what's the group called?
The Ministerial Alliance of Springfield and Vicinity.
Okay.
Not just immediate Springfield, but even in the outlying areas.
Now, I'd be remiss if we didn't have you do a little bit of a shout-out for Terry. So when God brought her into your life, I know you chased after her for a while, and she relented or you wore her down, but what was God equipping you to have through this beloved Terry?
Well, you know, I tell people that God knew better than I did. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was just chasing her because she was fine.
Yeah.
But God knew at some point I was going to need a pastor's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she has exemplified that down through the years. She's been the perfect partner for me in ministry. Praying woman, just a natural counselor of people, good teacher of the Word of God. We raised our children together and just could not have asked for a greater blessing in a life partner than Terry has been.
Well, Pastor Franklin, tell us a little more about your church, Mount Zion Apostolic Church, times of your services, and just a little more about it.
I came to Springfield. I felt the leading of the Lord to come and establish a church. We moved here in 1990, started the church in our home, stayed there until we moved into our present quarters at 2637 South 10th Street. Our congregation is a wonderful group of people that hospitality, we've tried to exemplify that as one of the primary characteristics of who we want to, you know, present ourselves as. We just changed our service time. Sunday school starts at 9 o'clock. We started our morning service at 10 o'clock now. You know, everything has changed since the pandemic.
Right.
During the pandemic, we had night services. We haven't had those since then. But we did remain open throughout the pandemic. God blessed us to be there. We had neighbors come, and, you know, we didn't know any churches were open. And so we were able to do that. But he's given us just a wonderful group of people that are committed to the Lord, love the Lord, love to worship God. And I guess as was it Nathaniel, when they told him about Jesus, somebody said, "Come and just come and see." You know, we invite anyone. We are open. We did not put limitations on who could come, because God said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." So we continued to assemble. There were some times when we thought we might have been shut down, but we never were. So we're thankful to God for that.
Now, not only do you serve at Mount Zion Apostolic Church here in Springfield, but tent revivals, do they still do those?
Apostle Jesse Bates coordinated what was called a community reconciliation gathering, and he asked me to be one of the speakers. And so I would rather have church outside of the building any day of the week than inside. And so I jumped at that opportunity to go, and I hadn't been under a tent in a lot of years. So I had a great time, and had a good turnout and good fellowship with people of different denominations. There again, you know, we're showing the city that we can worship God together, you know, because we have different names on our churches, different theologies in on our books. We all serve the same God, and following WLUJ's tagline, you know, we're lifting up Jesus. Right. And if we can do that together, I believe that God can do the rest from there.
And I think you had said it earlier, but it's so important that we model this to the hurting world.
Right.
That we are different because of our love, love for one another, because of our love for the Lord and God. I've heard it said about God being colorblind, but actually God delights in color. God delights in variety. We don't need to be all the same, but we need to appreciate the differences and celebrate the differences. I love the creative capacity that God has with all colors and all of creation. So he likes variety, but to have that unity and to exhibit that love so it's modeled to the world, because they step back and say, why are they getting along so well? They're all different colors and backgrounds and economic levels, and yet they're unified and should be how we're known.
Well, you know, he said if the whole body was just an eye, how would it hear? Right. You know, so if all the body was apostolic, then those gifts that he placed in the Methodist denomination and the Baptist and, you know, all the different varieties of the church, no one group has it all. And the ultimate maturity of the church is when we're able to bring those different giftings together and let God do the mixing. Can I share a vision that God gave me years ago? I was ironing my shirt. As I was doing so, the movie screen dropped down in front of my face, and I saw a baker, and he had a bowl of flour in front of him. And he reached over and brought in some sugar, and he got some milk and some eggs and some vanilla, and he mixed all this and he baked it. God said to me, if you must believe that you are the main ingredient, at best, all you are in what I'm doing is one ingredient. A cake, which was what he was baking, doesn't taste like a bowl of flour. Yeah. It tastes like the combination of all the ingredients brought together. So I think God deliberately set up these differences, and we fought, you know, if you're not flour, you're not saved. You know, if you're not milk, you're milk. You know, if you're not sugar, you know, you're not going to heaven. God is all wise. So I think we're living in that day when he's blending it. And out of that, I think is going to come something that the world has never seen before. We've treated them to all of our different ways of doing things. But out of that, something that the world has never seen before, I believe, is about to emerge.
I'm trying to find the verse. It's like Psalm 34:7 or 37:4, but part of it is taste and see that the Lord
taste
is good.
And see, yes.
That is bringing, like you said, the different things together, and that does delight the Lord, and he does love to see us unified as he's unified with the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they celebrate that oneness, and we can be a part of that oneness as we allow God to work in and through us. So Thank you for your time and sharing today on Testimony Tuesday. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and also at wluj.org, wluj.org, under the Mark and Friends link, so you can send it on to a friend and listen anytime.
Well, I'm going to close out the program with a song by Crystal Lewis on Christ the Solid Rock, which is who Pastor Franklin, Tim, and I place our hope. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will build His church. May we all unify and come together, lifting high the name of Jesus, proclaiming the good news message, the hope for all the world as they come to know Him as their personal Savior. That'll be our prayer for Pastor Franklin and the work that he's doing in and around the Springfield area, and certainly for this radio ministry and all the pastors as they proclaim God's Word and work out the Father's redemptive plan. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Tim Nelson, and Pastor Jonathan Franklin with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
He shall come with trumpet sound.